Vermont Viewpoint is a public affairs program produced and funded by WDEV and the Radio Vermont Group. We welcome listener feedback. Email your comments to vtviewpoint@radiovermont.com.
Good morning and welcome to Vermont Viewpoint. I'm your host, Brad Ferlin, here at WDEV in Waterbury, Vermont. We have a little bit of an abridged Vermont viewpoint this morning. There's this baseball team in Boston who plays on Patriots Day every year, and they're going to take the priority, as they should. And I hope the marathon in Boston goes well, too. We have a great show today. We're going to be starting with Betsy Bishop and talking about a great event that they had in the State House on Tourism Economy Day. And then at 9:30, Greg Tatro from Genesis Promise and Chip Piper will join me in studio. Chip is running 10 full marathons in 10 days to raise money for addiction and recovery. And they'll talk about that. Both Greg and Chip had tragic losses with their with a child. So they will be updating us about how we can do better with recovery. Want to go right to the phone lines, though, and welcome Betsy Bishop to Vermont Viewpoint. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning, Brad. Thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. I hear you're the pinch hitter this morning.
That is true.
It must be just a baseball day kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So you had a great event. It looks like, from what I'm reading, 100 tourism and hospitality and industry leaders went to the State House. Tell us about it.
Sure. Last week we did. We had a large group of folks come from all sorts of portions of the tourism economy. Really, the day is about sort of exposing our policy leaders, our elected officials, to understanding the breadth and the depth of the tourism economy. And really, our focus, the Vermont Chamber's focus, is to advocate for the Vermont visitor economy. We collaborate to foster a thriving visitor economy in Vermont, and it's a pretty broad industry that I don't think gets enough credit, frankly, for the economy and what it contributes to the economy. And when you're ready, I can throw some numbers at you, Brad.
Well, we like contributions. I think a lot of our Vermont residents have a little tax bill worry right now, so let's hear it.
Right. Well, you know, when you think about the tourism economy, it represents about 35,000 jobs throughout the state. That's about 10% of our entire workforce. So that gives you, you know, one perspective. It also is about a $3 billion contribution to the economy in visitor spending. So that's another way to sort of think about it. And the tax revenue that's generated out of that is almost $420 million. So when you think about those three big numbers, the $3 billion coming into the travel spending by visitors, you know, obviously that doesn't all go to the state, right? So about $420 million goes to the state and representing 35,000 jobs. It's pretty broad. And the other very cool thing about the visitor economy is that it's not just in one area, right? It's throughout the state, and not even just in our urban centers, but in every small town, there are different pieces of that tourism economy. When we think about lodging and B&B properties, and we think about attractions and outdoor recreation and, you know, retail and shopping in our small downtowns, that's why people come visit Vermont.
It certainly is amazing. And then, of course, we add in the ski industry, a staple of Vermont.
Absolutely. And the Vermont Ski Areas Association, Ski Vermont, was a big part of this day, was our key partner here. So the Vermont Chamber and Ski Vermont really worked to turn these people out. And what the day really consists of is we sort of start with a coffee open house with the governor, and the governor's cabinet is usually there, so that these folks who represent the tourism industry, these business owners, they can come and can talk with a variety of different folks who represent the administration in that coffee hour with the governor. And then, you know, we move into a joint hearing with the House Commerce and the Senate Economic Development Committee. These are the two committees in the House and the Senate that really focus on our issues. And we had a really great lineup of folks testifying before these committees from different viewpoints around the tourism economy. And I can run through some of those folks if you'd like, or we can talk about some of the issues.
Well, we'll do both. We're talking with Betsy Bishop, president of the Vermont Chamber. They had a great tourism economy day in Montpelier. Yeah, who are some of the players that were represented there and their roles?
Right. Well, we really tried to make sure that we got a little bit of a cross-section. We kicked off the day with Tina Rutenhira from the Vermont Professionals of Color. And one of the things that he talks about is the BIPOC Concierge Program, which is funded through a Grow Vermont grant. And the notion there is, how do we welcome all people to Vermont? And we really think about our people and places theme when we think about the economy. I'm sure you've heard us talk about the Vermont Futures Project has put together some goals for the future of trying to bring get our population to 802,000 and bringing our homes up as well to 350,000. And so those are the people and places theme is what Tino talked a little about. We had two folks come from theater to represent the arts, talk about community connections, about how sort of the show must go on, if you will, you know, from the Westin Theater Company and from the Flynn, talking about the integration of the arts with the tourism community. And then we had a small restaurant, Morse Block Deli and Pearl Street Pizza from Barrie, talk about the flood impacts that they had in their restaurant and how you know, that's the local economy, it's the tourism economy. We had a brewer, we had Hotel Vermont, we had a ski resort, all come in and talk about sustainability, workforce development, sort of how all of these things integrate into those big numbers that I started off with.
Yeah, very big numbers, $420 million in tax revenue. What about the ag community? They're a huge part of attraction to Vermont and the economy. Are they part of this?
They are. And, you know, the ag community is something that is, when we think about why do people come to Vermont, why do they repeatedly come back? It is really for, you know, sort of our peacefulness, if you will. People want to feel that nature. They want to feel those open environments, and ag is a really big part of that. What we've seen over the years, in addition to that, is people want that, but they also want to be busy. They want to be doing things in the outdoors, right? So that's where we've seen that development of, you know, mountain biking, and in addition to our ski resorts, and we think about hiking and kayaking. It's all sort of part of the outdoor recreation. But you're absolutely right. The base of that and our history of that is sort of the root of our agricultural economy and our agricultural environment. That's when people are driving up from New York or from Boston. That's what they're seeing on any side of the highway. And they're like, oh, we're here, that feeling. And I think that's really important for our tourism economy.
We're talking with Betsy Bishop, president of the Vermont Chamber. They just had an amazing Tourism Economy Day in the State House. The tourism industry brings in $3 billion, resulting in $420 million in tax revenue that helps offset our living in Vermont. So we appreciate that, Betsy. So it seems intuitive that we would all stand on the side of the road and cheer the tourism industry. Yet there's a day in Montpelier to sort of work on issues. Can you get into that?
Sure. You know, Amy Spear is our Vice President of Tourism and Marketing here at the Vermont Chamber, and we have a division focused on this, and she is the lobbyist in the State House on these issues. And you have to ask yourself, right, like we have a whole person, staff person dedicated to this industry. She actually has a team here, so it's not just one person, but dedicated at the State House to work on these issues. And the question is, like, why? You know, why doesn't just everybody cheer? This might not come as a surprise to you, Brad, but there's not a lot of cheering for business in the State House, right? So we have to make sure that they hear the good things that businesses are doing. And when you think about having a, you know, thriving tourism economy, it's good for the entire state. That $3 billion helps support the infrastructure, the buildings, the recreational piece, all of the money that tourists pay helps support workforce and the workers and their wages, and sort of all of that money goes into that. And when we think about the issues that the tourism economy is most focused on, it's probably not surprising that they're focused on workforce development, housing for their workers, and economic recovery and resiliency, right? Those are the same issues, frankly, yeah, that every business is focused on. You know, we have specialty issues in the tourism sector. You know, we're always advocating to make sure that the tourism marketing funds stay high. Those funds go to the Department of Tourism and Marketing to run the tourism marketing program, and certainly Commissioner Pelham was part of the day that we just had last week. She debuted a new tourism video that will be used to promote the state of Vermont. And I think we are constantly making sure that, you know, in all of the need of all of the organizations that the state supports and all the benefits and all of the things that state government does, that we don't lose the fact that this the tourism marketing program is important. And the good news is we've had several folks. When I think about legislators who have been real big supporters, I think about Representative Stephanie Jerome, who has really taken on the mantle of sort of leading the tourism caucus and getting folks to sort of rally around this. And in the Senate, I think about Senator Keisha Ram Hinsdale and Senator Clarkson, who have really been, you know, focused on these issues and understand the importance of these issues.
So what can our listeners do to help in this? Is there something right now that's pending or needs a little boost?
Right now, I think there isn't something that needs a little boost, if you will. I think we're doing well on some of these issues. I think the big issue that we're focused on right now is the avalanche of tax proposals that are coming to the business community, the tourism businesses, and every other business. There are at least five or six major tax bills that the House is passing, really focused by Representative Emily Kornheiser out of Brattleboro, who runs the House Ways and Means Committee, really, you know, suggesting that we need to add more and more revenue to do more and more things. And the question for us is always, yes, we need to do more things. We need to be a generous government, if you will. But we have to balance that with the needs and the ability to pay. And businesses are really suffering right now, coming out of not only a three-year COVID period, but many of them with the summer floods, really trying to bounce back from all of that, continued inflations, continued supply chain problems, decreased workforce. It's incredible. And then to see, you know, a 20% property tax coming, or a new cloud tax coming, or huge increase, sorry, but for my perspective, a huge increase in the corporate income tax. These are all burdens that, you know, tourism businesses and other businesses just can't afford right now.
So if I visit the State House this week, Betsy, and I bring in a copy of the childhood story that talks about killing the golden goose, is that a good
Yeah, that would be great. I think the notion is there's a lot of struggles right now. If you are a Vermont business, you are likely that you're a small business and you are working to do all of these things. You're trying to hire people. There's not as many people to hire. When you do find those people, you're trying to make sure that there's affordable housing nearby so they can make it to work. You're trying to make sure that your hours are flush, that you're open when you need to be. All of these things are things that keep us up at night. And, you know, we're that advocate for business, for those communities, for those people that work there. I think that's what we do.
And in addition, you mentioned, you know, the flooding and recovery and programs to get people back on track even is critical to their futures.
Absolutely. You know, and one of the things that's interesting is we just had an event last week, the eclipse. I think you mentioned that earlier about how we had, you know, the numbers that the state is putting out is the preliminary numbers were 160,000 people who traveled here by car. You know, the Vermont Futures Project is trying to move us to think about adding about 160,000 people to the workforce, to the population of the state of Vermont. We did that in one day. And we, you know, need to communicate to all those travelers, not just on Eclipse Day, but all the people who visit Vermont that, you know, if you liked us for a weekend, think about staying for a lifetime. We have jobs. We need you. We want you. We are open and welcome to that. You know, so it's sort of interesting. It was sort of a good opportunity to crowd test the idea that we could actually meet our 802 population goal. We did that in one day during the eclipse. And nothing bad happened. The state didn't implode, and yes, there was some traffic, but it was a wild, joyful success. I mean, people were all over the state cheering out right around the same time. It was great.
It was great, and we live about a half mile or less from Kilcare State Park, and there were hundreds of out-of-state cars going by our farm. We did, for the first time this spring, we put our sheep out along the roadside so that people could see them. They were slowing down, and they were, you know, taking it in. And then
were they TikTok stars, Brad, for a day? Must have been.
Yeah, totally, totally. And then, you know, at the climax of the eclipse, we could hear from a quarter mile away, cheering and clapping from all of these people who had gathered in Vermont. So you're absolutely right. I mean, the impression.
You know, that's something that doesn't happen in Vermont.
No.
Right? Like, I imagine in major urban settings when, you know, something big is happening, you might hear that more regularly, but I, like you, live out. Right.
Yeah.
And I actually live in Montpelier, but I live outside of Montpelier up on a hill. And I watched the eclipse with a couple of friends, and we heard this, you know, great whooping from downtown Montpelier come up the hill. The same sort of idea. It was wild.
Isn't it amazing? Yeah. And it just showed, you know, we welcome, you've told me on earlier shows that, you know, 80,000 houses would help, and that's an Act 250 issue. So there's all this connectivity of things we can do. Seems common sense, but you've got a full-time staff working on it. So,
well, and one other thing, I reached out to Commissioner Pelham of Tourism, and I had asked her, you know, are we these 160,000 people that came to Vermont, right? Are we doing anything to reach out to those people to continue to feed them information about living and working in Vermont? And her answer was yes, absolutely. They've captured certainly not 160,000, but they have a process to capture thousands of people, and sending them a survey, encouraging them to opt into their regular communications for both visitation and relocation. So that is how we sort of cross the notion of you know, building on our tourism economy and getting more Vermonters, more people to become Vermonters, to choose Vermont and to choose our lifestyle. So that's something I'm really excited about.
It's amazing. And I think about if 160,000 maple creamies were sold, you know, over a couple day period, how wonderful is that?
Well, you know, we saw Treasurer Pichak estimate that it could be upwards of a $50 million boost here to the state in that those economy numbers that we talked about. You know, when you're thinking about it, it's one day, but every hotel was sold out, every Airbnb, people were staying in the Derby Line parking lot. I mean, it was incredible.
Amazing. We're going to go to the phone lines. Our friend Zena from Barrytown wants to join the show this morning. Welcome, Zena.
Good morning. An instance of combining the things of nature and being active, as she said, also with eclipses, in the late 1990s, my mother and I and a friend watched a lunar eclipse, but from a canoe. My mother lived in Putney at the time, and she had a canoe, and I rounded up a friend to help me put the canoe off and on the car, and we went down to the Putney boat landing and put in, and it was a perfect night. It was completely still, not a bit of breeze, and magically, though, there were no bugs, and then of course, the lunar eclipse lasts longer than the solar one, so we were out there for a while, and it was magical. There it was overhead, and the eclipsed moon was turned a sort of a coppery auburn color, and there it was up in the sky, and it was also completely reproduced in the water, acting as a mirror.
Beautiful.
And it was so magical, and my mother was really getting on at that point, but we talked about it for years afterwards, and it was something that even at the very end of her life that she remembered as a very special time. So there you have it, eclipses and activity and nature all rolled into that one experience.
Well, there's an ad for the chamber. Thank you, Zena.
I think so.
Betsy, we're running out of time, but I really appreciate you updating us on this important topic of tourism in Vermont. It's the fabric of who we are, and we appreciate everything that the chamber and you do for this. And Amy Spear, thanks for all of it.
Well, great. Thank you so much for having us.
We'll have you back. This is Brad Ferlin, Vermont Viewpoint. We're at WDEV here in historic Waterbury, Vermont. We'll be back with Greg Tatro and Chip Piper right after this. Good morning and welcome back. This is Brad Ferlin, your host of Vermont Viewpoint here at WDEV in Waterbury, Vermont. Happy Monday to you. Happy Patriots Day and dreaded Tax Day. Marathon in Boston, and we're going to be talking about a real marathon here in Vermont in a minute. Hope you had a good weekend, and we're glad you're joining us this morning. We can't do radio without you, the listeners, so thank you for being part of this. If you want to join our discussions, give us a call at 802-244-1777. We always appreciate hearing from you. Our next segment is with two returning friends of mine, Greg Tatro with Jenna's Promise and Chip Piper, who is an ultra-deca marathoner, and I welcome you both to the show.
Morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
So you both are here originally based on tragic events in your lives, and I'm very sorry, and we are all very sorry for your losses. Greg, you lost a daughter, Jenna, to addiction, and Chip, your son, Michael. But you both bravely have chosen to make a difference in other people's lives. And we'll be talking about this morning. Chip, do you want to just tell us a little bit about your journey getting to this point?
Yeah, we started out, probably 3 or 4 years ago when in my first marathon, I worked to try to do a pledge, and we were working together with the Turning Point Center of Addison County when we lost Michael in July of 2020. After that, I was trying to figure out ways to help the recovery community, and in Michael's message was, "Hey, Dad, how do we help people that there's not enough help out there?" So that's where my journey began with him, who was struggling during the COVID pandemic and didn't have enough access. So I started there, and since that I've worked together with Turning Point Center of Addison County. Then I joined forces with Genesis Promise, brought them into the mix. We've done, this will be our third annual event in May of 2024, and just doing some raising awareness and trying to look at ways to talk about healthy ways to combat substance use disorders. And one of the things that Michael actually benefited from was he had done part of the long trail and saw the benefits of exercise. So that's kind of where I started. That's the journey, and that's where we are today is our next event.
Greg, you and your wife Dawn, your daughter was working on, getting clean and sober and all of that, and you tragically lost her. But she had a wish when she was traveling around with you and your wife. Can you tell us about that and what occurred from that?
Sure. Jenna talked to her mom one day when she was in rehab and said, when I get better, Mom, we're going to go around and help people and raise awareness and try to tear down some of the barriers that are in front of us, like workforce development, housing, and, just working on the trauma that these folks have acquired over the years. And so we remembered that promise once we lost Jenna, and that's how we created Jenna's Promise, because we wanted to carry her name, her ideas, and her spirit forward. So that's kind of how this all started. It was her idea. We bought the old Catholic church in Johnson, and her life insurance paid for that. So that's why we call it Jenna's House, because it actually is Jenna's house. So that's where it began, and we just keep going and trying to help folks.
And we're certainly reminded in the story of even in Jenna's struggles, her heart was so big that she was struggling, but going, "Hey, Mom, we can do better. We can travel around and we can help people." And so you've taken this and moved it forward. And Jenna's Promise has really become a renowned model for the state of Vermont, Greg. And you talked about the workforce development, but what are some of the aspects of recovery that you're seeing are successful that are helping save lives?
Well, first and foremost is housing. If somebody goes into an inpatient rehab and then they go back to the same place that they came from, that's pretty dangerous, because folks have been sober for a while and the old friends are going to come, and if they use again, they don't have the tolerance that they had. So, they can die pretty easily, actually. So the housing is the first step, where they're safe and they're with people who also want to be sober. And then we have a IOP, an intensive outpatient program that revolves around trauma. Not so much addiction, but the trauma that maybe led to the use in the beginning. And that gets pretty hard for these folks. There's a lot to uncover. And then we get them working after a few weeks. We've got a coffee roasting building, Jenna's Promise Roasting Company, and a store that buys and sells surplus goods in Johnson also. So that's where they start, so they're safe to start there.
Not only safe, but you and your wife Dawn have talked about the notion of separating the addicted person from the addiction, that they're lovely, beautiful human beings, but they are afflicted with something that's has changed their life and how they operate.
Yes, I mean, it's amazing how these folks come in. You know, I've seen a few of them come in. I'm like, oh, gosh, this is going to be a tough one. But that woman completed the program, and now she's working for us. We've seen other folks come through the program. They're working at the Copley Hospital. They're managing coffee shops. They're all over the place. And it's really, that's what drives us is, you know, you see somebody come in and they're struggling and you give them a couple months and you're like, whoa, that person's got it going on here. Let's keep supporting and see where we go with this. But it's, that's where your heart gets, happiness.
For sure. And Chip, you've been doing, you obviously have been involved with the recovery community. You and Greg both had the worst enormous loss, you know, that anybody could imagine. But it's widespread. This is a real thing in Vermont where we're losing people every day. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of the reasons why I joined the board of directors at Turning Point Center of Addison County is to get involved and understand the mission and what they're trying to do. And they have a huge project that they're going to be working on to try to get a building upgraded so that it's something that they have place for folks to come. Right now, it's a very small building, and it's hard to, you know, to have any kind of meetings and things like that because it's very small. So so that's why I was, you know, I've reached out with them, and I'm enjoying the time that I have working on the board and understanding more about what nonprofits really need and understanding myself that there's a lot of work that needs to be done and what they're doing every day to write grants, to chase money. You know, and like you said, the Genesis Promise is the model. At some point, maybe there's opportunity for us to do something like that in Middlebury. I don't know. But it's part of what I'm trying to understand and develop a better understanding of how things go. But that's a piece of it that I'm glad that I've been able to be on the board and to go through that with them.
Yeah, to make improvements in the system. Was there some frustration in earlier days about finding services? Is it hard to find services in some ways?
Yeah, and I think that's, again, kind of very similar to what Jenna was talking about. Michael was the same. He was saying, Dad, we really need to find opportunities for us to be able to get into the facility and to go through recovery coaching and things like that, which he really was desperate for. So that's kind of what I'm driving for is to get opportunity for people to go to the site and not just try to do it through some sort of communication through video audio.
Right. So. Yeah. We're talking this morning with Greg Tatro and Chip Piper. Both have experienced tragic losses with their children and have turned, you know, the ultimate negative into a positive for others. They bravely have been on the show and talked about, you know, their experience and now are really working to try to make things better. Chip, last year you ran 5 marathons in 5 days and raised, I think, over
$30,000. $32,000, yes.
$32,000, just remarkable. And then now this year, you and someone suggested that maybe you could do more, and what's going to happen?
So we've signed up for 10 marathons in 10 days, and we're going to start on May 16th and end on May 25th. It's going to be in the same venue in the mountains, in the Goshen, so really a brutal course, and it's going to be a lot of pain but a lot of fun.
So you didn't just pick a nice flat part of Vermont. He said, hey, let's just add the mountains.
Absolutely. I think, as a runner, I started out in running flat marathons, and my buddy Jim, he introduced me to the trails. And so, you know, it's his therapy. It's my therapy. It's helped a lot getting up there, and especially in times of darkness. So I think that for me has been just really good and helped me through some really hard times. And that's why I'm trying to do it. So it kind of corresponds to, like, not necessarily what someone goes through, but what I saw my son go through with trying to detox and things like that. Some of the struggles to get to the other side.
Yeah.
Kind of brings me to that to say, like, hey, if you can do this, you can, we can raise awareness, and we can show people that to get outside and, not necessarily have to do this magnitude, but to get outside and get on the trails and enjoy nature.
So channeling the struggle and also taking it forward with this incredible endurance as well.
Right.
And is this a marathon is 26 point something. Are you on new ground the whole way, or are you sort of, do you loop, or how's it?
There's two different loops. There's a 9 mile loop and an 18 mile loop. So every day we toe the line at 8 o'clock in the morning, starting on the 16th. And we run that 9 mile, which is extreme amount of incline. I think it's a little over 3,000 feet. But then you come into base camp, which is where it's at Silver Towers Camp up in Goshen, Vermont. And then you go out on the 18 mile loop. And so it's through the mountains, through Musalmu, that type of area. So it's really, it's a great opportunity to get outside, but it's in get through the trails. So it's a lot of fun too.
It's quite remarkable. And you do all the running. You're doing 10 marathons in 10 days, but you have support people who will join you for segments.
Yeah. What's interesting is this year I actually have a good friend of mine. His name's Mark Burrell. He's actually doing an offshoot of a GoFundMe to also raise money. And he's going to be joining me on one of the marathons. He's going to do one. He said, Chip, I'm not going to come and do 10, but I'll do one. And I believe his brother is also going to join us as well. So I'll have, I think it's going to be on the 18th, which would be like the third marathon. And then there may be others, but I'm not sure yet.
Yeah. And do you have support stations along the way, or?
Yeah, it's one of the things that we put the team together. I actually have some friends that are, that I work with that are going to come up, and we've got a volunteer form on our website, actually, that if people want to come down. Mainly the main day is Saturday, when we really need more of the support, because that's when Andy has the 9 mile and the marathon race, which is typical of, a couple hundred participants. So he's looking for people to help park and people to help bring water and to the aid stations and things like that. So we try to bring people in from my team and join that event and help out there.
Yeah. What an effort. So you do the 9. That's sort of like this rigorous break in. Not really a delay going into the 18, though.
No, you come back in, make sure you've got the gear you need, change up a few things, take off a few layers of clothing if it's cold that morning, and make sure you got water. And there is only 2 aid stations, one at the main site and one at 18. So that's where I will put a cooler and put a bunch of my stuff. I'm actually learning from the last time that not try to carry it all in a pack. So there'll be some folks that'll help me refuel that box or that cooler box, and we'll be there as well. So
Greg, Jenna's Promise has been involved in this effort. Not effort. It's like beyond belief what Chip is doing. What is Jenna's Promise part of this?
Well, we're here just to help support Chip and get the word out. It's another venue to spread the word, honestly.
Yeah.
We see quite a few people down there on Saturday last year, and, it gives you a chance to talk to people. This program is amazing. It's spreading the word about addiction, and, let's get these folks some help. So we'll help Chip along the way and do a little advertising, use our website and some of our resources to help him, and then I'm thinking about actually doing some kind of a mental check on Flip just, or on Chip just to make sure he's okay with this because, you know, I don't know who the heck would do this kind of thing 10 days, but certainly wouldn't be me.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, if we would need to bring a psychiatrist in, and it may take longer. Well, 50 minutes, that's all we can do, Chip. But and then they go, I'm sorry, time's up, and we have to leave the room.
Right.
So, Greg, you talked about and Chip as well, but Greg, the when you're first looking for resources, it's a real moment of life and death, and what I've heard you advocate for the last several years is when someone is ready, what do they need? What is the desperate call here?
Well, the desperate call is to call my wife, Dawn, and she gets more people into rehabs, and she's amazing. She drives people. We can't take everybody at Jenna's Promise, but she'll lead these folks to the help they need. I think Valley Vista in Vermont is an inpatient. You know, they're struggling right now. The last thing we need to do is lose another inpatient. You know, we lost Maple Leaf and Underhill, so Northern Vermont really doesn't have an inpatient that I know about. There might be some, but I don't know about. But, you know, it's a struggle. It seems like sometimes people who are suffering from substance misuse aren't looked at the same as regular, normal people. You look at our death rate. If any other, you know, people were dying for something, for as many, we lose 250, 230, whatever it is a year. You know, if that was something else, I think we'd be doing more. So that's very concerning to me. These people are humans. They're good people once you get that veil of addiction off them, and they should be treated fairly.
For sure. Chip, it's bringing awareness, as Greg said, to addiction, and we're talking about it this morning, and really that most Vermonters either have experienced something directly or indirectly, but it touches us all. You're also raising money. How can people support this run, and how can they? Is there a website they can go to support you?
Yes, we've set up Trail Run Number 4, recovery.com. There's a place where there's a button that you can donate. And this year we're doing a really amazing event. One of the folks, one of the companies in New Haven, Vermont, is helping us to raffle off an ATV 750 AXI Suzuki. So we're selling raffle tickets. Those are also on our website. And you can go to exactly the same place. It's trailrun4recovery.com. And it's all there. So you can either donate or you can buy some raffle tickets. There's some other things. Darn Tough has actually donated 30 pairs of socks for me to raffle off. And I'm raffling off a Garmin that was once mine. I bought one and then never did use it. So I'm going to auction that off. And then we also have locally to Middlebury. There's Middlebury Fitness is actually giving us a membership to raffle off, and so we're pretty excited about it.
Yeah, great. So that's at Trail Run H4?
Trail Run the number 4.
The number 4, yes. Okay.
Recovery.com.
And ATV to win. If you win the ATV, you can actually join Chip next year safely and do the whole 26 miles comfortably.
Yeah. Absolutely. We were able to go down to the site at Cyclewise, Greg and I, and we were able to do a little some video and some shots. So that'll be showing up, and we're excited to continue to focus on how we can raise awareness, but also have some fun at the same time.
And some custom hats they can buy online.
There's also hats. Yes, we limited edition hats. We didn't purchase a significant amount, but we also have hats. They're also on that same site that you could purchase one for $40 and then kids ones for $30.
Yeah, we've got about 2 minutes now. We're talking with Greg Tatro and Chip Piper. both experienced tragic losses with their children, Jana Tetreault and Michael Piper. But both of them bravely have not stopped there. They have they're working to bring awareness to addiction and raise money and making sure that there's resource for others. Very grateful for that for both you and for your efforts. Any last words from you, Chip, about the run or what you're doing?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to all and to all that have been a part of this. And a big shout out to Nicole Vashen, who's been my project manager. And also to Greg and to Don and to Danielle from the Turning Point Center. You know, we're just, you know, everybody's pitching in, and we really appreciate the effort and help, and can't wait to have you on Saturday. So,
Greg, we got about 30 seconds. Anything more from you?
Yeah, just go to our website, jennaspromise.org. We're putting most of Chip's stuff on there, so if you, you know, have trouble getting to one, go to the other. We'll help you get through it, and don't give up. If you're out there struggling, don't give up. There's help for you. We can make a difference. Let's go.
There's always hope, and those moments of clarity that someone has, pick up the phone, tell somebody you need help, and you can save a life. We've been with Greg Tetreault and Chip Piper. We're going to be back right after this break for about 4 minutes, and then we're going to send you to the Red Sox. But this is Brad Ferlin, Vermont Viewpoint, WDEV here in Waterbury, Vermont. Good morning and welcome back. This is Brad Ferlin, Vermont Viewpoint here at WDEV. We only have a few minutes more because the station will go to Red Sox baseball, an exciting morning for the Red Sox Nation. I do have in studio with me still is Greg Tetreault and Chip Piper. Chip is going to run 10 marathons in 10 days beginning on May 16th. Chip, one of the raffle prizes is an ATV. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So we're going to be raffling off an ATV Suzuki 750 AXI, and the tickets are $100, and they're on our website, trailrun4recovery.com, and we're capping them at $200, but we're just hoping that folks take a look at that, and then, you know, like I said, the folks at CycleWise have helped us out with setting this up. We're gonna be showcasing this probably in the Middlebury area at one of the shops, possibly. But, you know, go in and check it out. It's a really big prize. We're hoping that it gets a lot of excitement, and we're hoping that we'll definitely get some decent sales out of that.
And listeners, you win either way. If you don't win the ATV, you're still supporting something that's life-saving.
Absolutely, right.
And Greg, the Jenna's Promise is involved. One thing that you and Don promote is that there's hope. If we don't keep the secret, if we reach out and we look for help, there's hotlines and there's recovery centers in every county, right? So people can reach out for this.
Absolutely. It's there when they're ready. Where, you know, it's a little tough to get into some of the inpatients. So, you know, it can take a little time. It's relatively quick. It's better now than it was. And, you know, help's out there. And, you know, our job, we have a family program on every other Wednesday. If you go to jennaspromise.org, you'll find it. And parents, they struggle as much as the person suffering from misuse because we don't know what to do. So that's also a good way to help. Get the parents or the loved ones involved so they can understand what this person's going through. But there's hope, and don't give up, whatever we do.
Yeah, you bring up a really important point that both of you have experienced is sort of you have a child who you've seen is going through something, and it's hard to relate sometimes directly, but, you know, it's love and it's care, but it's very difficult.
It is. And I think that's one of the things that seeing what Michael went through firsthand, he living with us, it's a trauma. You know, there's a lot of chaos in trying to get to the other side. And he had the same thing. 2 weeks in rehab, gets pushed back out, no support. And that's really what we're striving for as well, is, you know, people to have that connection.
Yeah, increasing the resource. Greg Tatro, Jenna's Promise is a model that you're slowly building to really share. Politically, you've caught on, which is, you know, always sort of helps the process. But is Jenna's Promise something that can be replicated throughout the state?
I think it can be if the folks in the government gets behind it. It's a lot of work. And Don and I have put substantial resources into it. But, you know, it seems to be catching on. I think people understand that, you know, if we can keep these folks alive, it changes. We have a chance to help them. We have a chance to get them into workforce development so that they're paying taxes and they're a part of the community. You know, with Jenna, we'll never have that chance. And that's what saddens me the most, is I won't ever hold her baby, or I won't walk her down the aisle if she ever got married. I don't get that opportunity. But we want to help as many people as we can to get that opportunity, and that's our job at this point.
Well, I thank you both again. You're both brave, and you're saving lives by transitioning to hope, and appreciate you both being here.
Thank you very much.
Thank WDEV. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Thanks, Brad.
This is Brad Ferland, Vermont Viewpoint. I'll be back tomorrow with more exciting guests, and look forward to being here. And thank you to you, the listener.